Welcome back to Startup to Success on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.
You know, when you asked for what did I, you know, what was something that I let figured out, or what did I have to let go? That there are a lot of other smart people, much smarter than me. So I need to capitalize on their thought leadership and let them gain the opportunities. I was given a lot of opportunity in my life that I've taken advantage of. Now it's my turn to give that opportunity to them as well.
Wow, that's amazing. And I think to your point, letting go is as important as simplifying. To me, you know, I always thought, how can I simplify this project? And I would try to do, especially in marketing, we have all these steps we have to take when we're running a campaign. And I would always take so much time reviewing the steps and thinking, what can I cut from here and there? What can we not do? How can we, you know, make the approval process with the client more effortless? How can we maybe not even need the approval from the client so that we don't delay our campaign launch, right? And so, but then a lot of it was, what are the things that I'm going to let go so that I'm not held responsible in every detail of every campaign to check, to do this and do that? And it was hard. It was really hard to let go because, you know, it's your baby, especially when you're starting your own company. You're like, you don't want them to make mistakes because that, but you know, that's how they learn. And I've learned to let go and learned that mistakes can happen. And luckily we're not doctors and surgeons, you know, we don't have lives at stake here. So it's a mistake. We're human. We fix it. We move on. So yeah, thank you for sharing that. And thank you for sharing the book, Effortless. I'm definitely going to start reading that. Let's talk a little bit about the government sector and some of the opportunities and challenges. And as I think we're going into recession, I think I try to encourage more and more women to look into the government sector. And I was also contracted by the city of LA to help with the RAMP, which is the centralized platform that's connecting small business owners with the private and government sectors. And so I try to encourage everyone to do it. But I've been there. I remember when I got on a call with you and I was confused and I really didn't know where to begin and how to even start the process. And I know it's a big, big topic and we're sadly, we don't have all the time, but what are a few things that you can suggest for somebody who's thinking about getting into the sector?
Okay. First off, I have another quote, make mistakes faster. That was from Andrew Grove with Intel, co-founder. So just think about that. That was such a perfect comment that you made. And I had to tell you
that is perfect. I'm going to write that down on my board here.
Yeah, I just, that was perfect. So here, okay. Here's what I did. And in fact, I'm also mentoring one of my newer subcontractors who is a 1099 to us and she wants to set up her own firm. So here's, you know, some of the same advice that I'm offering to her. When I first started, even though, you know, I was coming from an environment where we were serving the federal government and the state and local as well, but mostly federal, and I was doing that through the different consulting firms that I worked at. So I knew it from that perspective. But when you turn the tables and you're in charge, it's a different story. There are too many kind of bells and whistles. One of the first things that I did was I contacted the Women's Business Center. The Women Business Center is everywhere. And they were having a series of these webinars as well as live get-togethers where it was, you're just starting out, you know, what do you need to know from a federal government perspective? You know, how do you get registered? Because those registrations are really important. There's a systems of award management known as SAM. There are these different, you know, things that you need to do through Dun & Bradstreet. So when you're setting up your firm, you know, also at the same time, they kind of give you this nice little checklist. You know, these are some of the things that you need to be thinking about and doing. So the government, you know, because the other thing too is different agencies have their own portals as well that you can get into. From a supplier diversity perspective, and you can get signed up for those. There are these different, like you mentioned, the HUD event back in 2000, they bring people together, you know, different business owners. In that case, it was Women's History Month. So so I was asked to speak on a panel, you know, about working with HUD, because we were working with HUD at the time, you know, as well as other agencies. The other is that it align yourself with contractors who know the drill and know what they're doing. Don't think, and this is one of those lessons learned, that you know, if you're doing mostly commercial, and you know, I come out of the commercial environment. In fact, my business also does work on the commercial side. The sales cycle, the whole nine yards, the kind of crazy way that the Fed and others make their procurement decisions are just like put to the side the commercial side, because federal is vastly different. I'm not trying to scare people away, like don't give up. Like I've heard stories of you know, people who, women, and I'll say women, who come in. And you know, you get your women-owned small business certification. You think that that's going to be the ticket. It really is not the only ticket. It's a good tool to have in your toolkit. But the thing is that I've heard of stories where, you know, women will say, and I'm on the Leadership Council of Women Impacting Public Policy, and I've heard when I've given talks about, you know, federal, you know, procurements. And I've heard some say, well, oh yeah, you know, went after it once and it didn't work and then I gave up. It doesn't work that way. Like my story is 9 years in the making, you know, and we're still learning today. But now, you know, I don't make the same mistakes. And I wouldn't say were mistakes, they were just, I thought this was the thing to do, right? Like I would go to these matchmaking events, and I'm not poo-pooing those. I think they're really good so that you get to expose to those. But I came to realize that a 5-minute conversation with someone who works in the procurement area, you know, or, you know, someone who is the small business liaison is not going to get to your contract. You know, where it's going to happen is, you know, as you start to build up your portfolio. And the way that I did it was I took a step back and thought, okay, I'm not going to start out by being a prime. Who's going to hire me, right? And I was very realistic about that. And so that's what you'll find about me. I'm very realistic. So what I did was I started to align myself with other firms that were much larger, very large. And they took us on, you know, as a sub. We started to build a relationship. We then went to market together. They also had government clients already, and they were willing to bring us on as a subcontractor. We did that for 4.5 years. And that's a long time. I mean, like you will hear some people say, oh yeah, we were sub for 6 months and then we got a prime contract. That's great. I mean, like I'm thrilled when I hear those stories. But in the niche services that we provide, that just wasn't going to happen. Too many players in the market, and we needed to develop our rapport and relationship. It took 8 years before we won what I'll call, we call it a legacy or they call it a base year, an option year contract. Last year, we beat out 11 other firms for a contract that is a multi-year contract. Now, again, maybe it'll take you a longer, you know, others listening in, it'll take them a shorter period of time. Now, part of it was we're priming that particular project. And where that happened, or how that happened, was that we came to the stark realization that just having a WOSB certification just wasn't going to be enough. So 4.5 years in, where we had already developed what we call past performances, right, where you've done work, and we had built up that particular portfolio, we then made the leap to get what is known as a GSA schedule. That in turn, and that's not you snap your fingers and it happens. It's you. We use the consultant, and they helped us with getting what is known getting on the schedule. That in turn opens up particular opportunities that we and other schedule holders can go after. But see, the thing is, you have to have past performances in order to get on the schedule. So it becomes a little bit of a catch-22. You can't get on the schedule when you're a startup and you don't have any kind of past performances that you have to offer up. So whether it's as a sub or as a prime, you know, generally what I see is that people wait a couple of years before they're actually on the schedule. But it's a lot of sweat equity during that period of time, you know, and throughout the entire life cycle, you know, the business.
Well, I took your advice and did precisely that. I decided that I'm going to go as a sub. I'm not going to even try to go as a prime because I have no past performances. So I just wanted to throw that out there. And I agree with you.
Yeah, it is a journey. And it is like nothing you've ever seen. I'll tell you, I mean, that's the way it is. You know, the government sector, it's not getting to know just one person. You have to know somebody in the program office. You need to know the small business liaison. You need to know who else is doing work. And there are ways in which you can gather up this information and see who else is doing work with that particular agency. We now tend to go after more of your of the smaller civilian agencies. They seem to like what we do because they like the fact that, you know, number one, we live our tagline. My firm's tagline is consulting with you in mind. And that is, we live that every single day. We don't just take a, you know, it's not like a widget. It's not like a product that you take off the shelf. You know, we want to be able to listen. We want to be sure that we're tailoring our solution and we're not boilerplating those solutions from one agency to the other. Smaller agencies tend to need that kind of help. But we've done work with larger agencies as well, like Interior and HUD and others. So we basically also build up our portfolio. And when I say portfolio, I mean, what work is it that we're anticipating? You know, what work are we doing today? And what work have we done in the past? And then we figure out, well, okay, you know, from a revenue perspective, you know, what is it that we want to do going forward? You know, we actually just won our first commercial. Not first, we've done work in nonprofits, but a large commercial operation came to us. Wow. See, that's the other thing too. Like in time, people start emailing you. We won two nice sized engagements just by virtue of an email. Two emails. That was it. Wow. I mean, I know you do marketing. This was not on the radar screen, but they basically emailed us, and that's how we ended up getting and winning the work in two different settings. So you can't, sometimes you can't really plan on it. Yeah. Because, you know, in my world, in our world, you know, in the government contracting world, you just never know, you know, what's going to come up. You also, you know, we talk a lot about responding to requests for information. We do that. We're more selective these days. That's the other thing too, that like in time, you start to realize, well, you know, I don't think we need to really be doing that. You know, like the woman that I'm helping with her business and one of our subs, you know, now what I'm doing is I'm sharing with her like, okay, there are all these announcements, they're like HUD events, like the one you attended. Mm-hmm. So there's some things that, you know, she could start to look into. You know, different webinars, trainings, et cetera, that tell you like how to build your business, how to build up your government clientele. It just, it takes time. and you build your strategy and your approach, and you start to refine that strategy and approach over a period of time. And may take 2 years, it may take five, it may take nine. You know, it really depends on what you're offering. And then because I'm incredibly organized, which I think is a good thing, that really helps, you know. And I also come to realize I'm not gonna have all the answers each time, you know. And also I mentioned earlier, please, please, please make sure that when you're going after something, the government, no doubt, is gonna check everything off. You want to be sure that you're checking it off as well. You want to be sure on that RFP also that you're making it attractive to them. Like, just don't take what they put in their RFP and you just copy and paste it into your response. That's not going to go very far. So there are a gazillion, I know we don't have time, but there are so many, so many lessons learned. You know, things that I would do maybe slightly differently, but you know, hindsight is always 20/20, so it is what it is. And I will do one more quote for you. Learn early and learn often. This is from Drew Houston, who's a Dropbox co-founder. Wow. Learn early, learn often. And that is a trick to the trade as well, you know, when it comes to the government sector.
And to add to that quote, learn by maybe reaching out and speaking to people, like the way I reached out to you and spoke to you. It was maybe a 40-minute conversation, but I gathered the fact that I'm going to start out as a subcontractor, which probably saved me tons of hours and headache, because I was thinking, oh, I'm qualified, I can go as a prime. And yes, I am. Like the some of the opportunities that I've been going after as a sub, I know I'm qualified to be a prime, but at the same time, I know I don't have enough past performances under my belt yet. So I'm going to be patient. And to your point, the strategy will come together as you're getting into it. I think we need to understand that first we need to get in, observe. It's almost like a game to me, you know, you got to know the rules to play the game and you have to have the right tools to do it. And if you're joining your friends to learn this game, you don't expect to become the winner right away. You need to be patient, watch the best players, understand what tactics and strategies they're using, and then make sure you have it, and then find a smarter way to go and compete against them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The other is be careful too what you figure out as your hourly rate. That was one of the biggest lessons learned. I mean, I will say we kind of threw a dart at the wall because I wasn't sure, you know, what my hourly rate was going to be. Yeah. And then I came to realize that in some of these subcontracting agreements, boy, were they upcharging me. So I then, you know, you say like, what did I figure out? I'm like, huh? You know, like I might be charging whatever, $110 an hour. Right. And then they're bidding me out at $160 an hour. Wow. So boy, were they making a margin on me. Wow. And
how can you prevent that? Or is there anything you could?
Lesson learned. Anybody can go in and look at those entities that have GSA schedules. Mm-hmm. It's called e-library. And anybody, you don't have to have a schedule to go in there. So you can even look up my firm, EMY Consulting, and you'll see what we call our GSA schedule. It actually, that's where you have your different pricing quotes, because part of it is this negotiation. If I knew back then what I know now, one of the first things I would have done was would have gone directly to eLibrary and, you know, look up, you can, you know, whatever your competition is, see if they have a schedule, you know, if they're serving the government sector. And you can go in and you can say, huh, for that labor category, you know, in my case, senior manager auditor. Oh, so that's what they're going to charge the government or somewhere around that number. And then what I did was, see, I got smart. I finally got smart. And what I did was when we got one of our subcontracting agreements, I then went in and like looked at those rates and I'm like, okay, so I know you're going to charge the government, whatever, $180 an hour. So here's my rate. Mm-hmm. My rate is $150, mm-hmm. $160. Mm-hmm. And they took it because they, you know, I already did my homework. Yeah. So you ask about something I figured out. Yeah. That's what I figured out. And that's what I offer up. You know, you can easily find what people are charging for different labor categories because it has to be public. It is public, even though the opportunities are to those schedule holders, but the information and our respective rates are very visible. So that's something to think about. That's something to do.
Great advice. Wow. I can't believe we're coming to an end. I wish we had more time to talk about. I really specifically wanted to talk about focusing, but maybe we can talk about that on another show. Where can our listeners get a hold of you? How can they connect with you?
So my website is EMY Consulting. M as in Marie or Mary. So emyconsulting.biz, B-I-Z. I can be reached through my email, which is eyearly, E-Y-E-A-R-L-Y, at emyconsulting.biz. I am in Virginia, so 703-943-8129. That's my mobile number. So feel free to call me there as well.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Alina. It's been a pleasure having you, and we're definitely going to have you back again. We need to dive more into some of the great advice and the experiences you've shared with us. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And thanks for the opportunity. Appreciate it.
Thank you for joining Startup to Success with Maria on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3 SoCalArmenian.com.